getting the data together to have it at a single click, using certain data science to make the decision making and do a bit of automation so that everybody doesn't have to take the decision manual planning. These are the three things which I see cutting across the clients.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the podcast today, I have my two guests, Nikhil and Matthias. Gentlemen, would you like to introduce yourselves? Maybe Matthias go first.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for invitation. So I'm Matthias, Head of Supply Chain Management within Commercial Vehicle of ZF Friedrichshafen. So in charge of supply chains around the globe. So we have a global footprint, roughly 40 plants, dealing with all products which are in a commercial vehicle, bus and trucks. And yeah, so I'm the process owner within that division for all what's in content of supply chains and logistics engineering. Yeah, since roughly 20 years at ZF, with ZF, and in different roles, mainly in supply chain management and logistics, 40 years old, and happy to be here.
Fantastic. Thanks, Matthias. And Nikhil?
Hi, I'm Nikhil. I work for Infosys. I lead the SAP IVP and SAP APO, which is SAP supply chain practice. Working for Infosys for the last 16 years, roughly 20 years in supply chain domain, and mostly look after the supply chain transformation project. And along with Matthias, I work on this digital S&OP transformation for ZF. So that's my brief introduction.
Superb. We're in a kind of a weird, kind of a strange time in supply chain. I mean, we hear supply chain stories in the news every day now, which was something that if I had said this to you 2 years ago, you'd have thought I was going crazy because no one had ever heard of supply chain 2 years ago. And now everyone knows the expression. And we're seeing a huge increase as well in the digitization of supply chain. Supply chain transformation initiatives are taking off all over the place. A lot of that has been accelerated, I think, by the pandemic, but do you agree? Do you think it's the pandemic has kicked this off, or are there other factors, or how do you see it falling out?
Yeah, if I would start, I would say the pandemic is a trigger to or pushed us very quickly during the last 2 years in that topic. It's not we saw or see this focus since a couple of years on supply chains. We have worked on that. We see challenges on that. But started with the pandemic, as you have mentioned, we see really that there is a push in all the topics, a lot of disruptions there. And it's not only the pandemic when you look to the news, it's the semiconductor, it's the flooding in Germany, it's vessels in the Suez Canal, whatever. So a lot of disruptions in the supply chain within a short period on that, and that's make it very challenging for us on a daily basis. But no boring time. So we have guide us and through that times and work step by step to improve the situation.
Okay. And Nikhil?
Yes, I think I kind of echo what Matthias has just said, that the problems in supply chain existed even before the pandemic. In fact, it is the same set of problem. So, for example, forecast accuracy improvement was always there on the radar. Then lead time and the variation associated with that is always there. And demand supply balancing, multi-sourcing, allocations, etc., were the problems which existed even before the pandemic. What pandemic did is it kind of brought everything on the table, and it didn't allow people to kind of postpone the solutions associated with them. So it became right here, right now kind of a situation to solve some of this supply chain problem. So it kind of accelerated the whole thing. So pandemic, yes, in a way, pandemic did bring a lot of the supply chain initiatives on the table. But at the same time, there were pre-existing problems and the supply chain were having its own challenges anyway. So that's how I can see what happened over the last couple of years.
Okay. I mean, I remember being at an event in South Africa in 2019, mm-hmm. and one of my colleagues, Hans Talbauer, at the time was giving a talk on supply chain disruption. And he was talking about Brexit as one of the factors and climate disasters as you know, other things. And he was saying that there will be more disruptions happening. And we were all going, yeah, obviously. We had no idea that this pandemic was coming down the line and the kind of disruption that that wrought on all of our supply chains. So, yeah, I think it's been a huge forcing factor. I think a lot of people were doing proofs of concept maybe with digitization projects in their supply chains, but this became a huge forcing factor that made people, you know, it was kind of that burning platform that we talk about that made people kind of jump.
Absolutely. I would say, I mean, what we see with the pandemic is that it's really a global disruptions now. We had all this kind of disruption during the last years, single issues in some areas, some regions of the world, and this is brand new on that, and the effect is seen on the whole world, and that makes it more complex on that to manage, for sure.
Okay, and Matthias, how has the pandemic affected supply chain for your industry? I mean, you guys, you're making parts for the automotive industry and the commercial vehicles, as you said. You know, has there been a huge drop in demand or a pickup in demand again? Or, you know, has it kind of fluctuated that way? Or and how has that impacted on your supply chain?
Yeah, there are multiple topics that in the first phase, it was really this shutdowns which caused a lot of problems. So you had in single areas shutdowns and you have to manage missing the parts of on the inbound side, how you make products finished. For the US or South America was not affected in the early beginning. So how we steer that global ones, that was the first one. Then at least when we had the phase of a global topic, for sure there was decreasing demands on that. But the business come back. You personally, all we were sitting at that time at home, what we did, we bought on platforms any products what we get. So trucks was, I'm in the commercial vehicle, as mentioned. So each one needs trucks to bring the material to you, the clothes, the food, whatever. So there was really a demand to manage all these bottlenecks, what quite crazy. And today, and then was a phase, I would say, linked to the semiconductor issue that really in Asia region was affected with a lot of semiconductor factories, which brought us in trouble. And now it's the regional ones. There is a hotspot. There is a hotspot. They closing for 2 weeks. What do we do on that? So in summary, a lot of different phases, a lot of topics. Yeah, that's what we see and we have to manage.
Okay. And moving forward, I mean, there's the whole shift to the electrification of transportation in general. Commercial vehicles are going to be very soon shifting to electric as well. Is that going to have a big impact on you guys?
Yeah, that's in parallel. I mean, and that's making as well not easy on that. We have on one hand, and that started before the transformation of the whole industry. Automotive is since 100 years now the most challenging time in general regarding technology is e-mobility topic, autonomous driving, whatever. So, yeah, the Iron Man, I always say, with having steel in the cars, we are changing our supply chain completely. And in addition, this pandemic topic, to manage both the transformation of the industry and that disruptions, yeah, is two things in parallel we have to manage.
And how are you managing them? How are you managing all that disruption?
with a lot of effort and work. Yeah, I mean, first of all, and that's coming back to what Nikhil mentioned in the early beginning. I think that that method, that parameters, that criteria we have are long time known in the supply chain. Then we had, and we are in the middle of that, to have a task force mode. I'm only living in the task force. And now, as well, looking in the future, the challenge is to look on these concepts, on these methods, and these well-known processes, and transfer that with the lessons learned out of the task force mode in a future-oriented systems and solutions and processes we have.
Okay.
So, and that's the challenge at the moment, really, to find resources in the organization, not to make daily troubleshooting, only to find the resources and bring it in the area to learn on from that and establish the right system, process, and methods on that. And, I mean, Nikhil, in our common project work, you see that from an outside perspective. Definitely that our team's also struggling with that, to find the time slots to work on sustainable solutions for the future.
Okay, Nikhil, what would you say to people who are listening, who are managing supply chains and may be thinking, I need to figure out some way to avoid disruption in my supply chain in the future? What would your advice be to them?
Yeah, see, the point is the human nature is such that we always go by our worst experiences, right? So if you have to go from place A to place B, and normally it takes 30 minutes, and on a bad day it took 1.5 hours, we will always try to think it will always be 1.5 hours. So even when pandemic will go away, the impact of the disruptions that it caused will stay with us. For example, some of the Infosys customers in paper industry up north, that is in the Nordics, the Suez Canal got choked for a week or so. Now suddenly we see the increase in the inventory on the markets, which got affected. We see a lot of investment in the transport management solution. We see this digital supply chain of tracking it end to end, etc. Because nobody wants to be in that situation again. That if the same thing has to happen again, then people want them to be insulated from this kind of problems going forward, right? So the same thing will happen in all the other places of the supply chain, right? So we see a lot of product mix changes. Like, for example, one of the jewelry industry client we have is now talking about, and first time I learned that females wear different jewelries when it is indoors and when it is outdoors, right? And in pandemic, more of the indoor jewelry which picked up and outdoor jewelry went down, and then it's like a complete churn in the product mix or so and so forth. So I think now these are the things which will stay with people for long, and whenever you have to kind of re-engineer your supply chain process, then obviously you have to make investment in certain digital technologies. So even if the impact of pandemic will go down as we go forward, I still see the investments and the re-engineering of the supply chain process and preparing ourselves better for the next round of change or next round of disruption. That kind of mindset will continue for next 2-3 years, or who knows, maybe more. So that's what will happen as we go forward.
I mean, to add one point, sorry for sure. That. I mean, we will have as well in the future this kind of disruptions in the supply chain. The managing is how we deal with them and how digitalization supported us in that topic. The first one is the risk alerts and things like that. And I would say that helps at least to win some days, some hours up front to react more quick. That's important, but that won't help us that much in the future on that. The second topic is the visibility and the data out of the supply chains. There's definitely things to do. but we did good progress in the last, the whole business on that in the last couple of years on that. But with both the risk alerts and the visibility, we had in the past the chance to execute the solutions in a more manual way with experts which are aware of that, and they did the right decisions and things to manage the through the whole business on that. But with this lot of disruptions we had currently and during the last 2 years, it's not manageable without a clear execution tool landscape and processes to manage that. And that's our main challenge we have in the whole industry, to have an execution system available which is manageable from a complexity point of view, but brings us in the situation to react quickly and make the right decisions and execute it.
Okay, so data visibility, I'm hearing, is crucial.
Crucial, yeah. But well known, there's a lot of things to do to be at the high end. For sure, we are not done. We have good pilots. We have some supply chains which are very good. We have technologies in place. So, but not, the rollout is not finished. But that's something we have to execute and to do. That's not the issue. But in the field of execution systems, like we do it in the project Nickel with the IVP, that's our things. I think that's quite important as well in the future, to be quick and make the right decision and be fast on that.
Okay, and Nickel, if you had to advise people on three initiatives to undertake to make their supply chains more resilient, what would you say?
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
I think some of the points Matthias already covered. So important point is having the data available at a single place, which is what Matthias was talking about as the initiatives like the digital supply chain, where we kind of bringing everything together. Second thing, what I see is more data science being used in decision making, which is like we do a bit of optimization, that if the demand is more than the supply available, how do you allocate using the scientific techniques? And the third thing is this whole concept of artificial intelligence or something, that the problem with the current crisis is it has changed both the demand side parameters as well as the supply side parameters. I think all the previous crises, for example, 2007, 2008, or 2001, 2002, it affected only demand side, but now it affected even the supply side. So it is becoming very difficult for an average planner to do everything manually. So they need a lot of support for doing this decision making in an automated way. So just to summarize, getting the data together to have it at a single click, using certain data science to make the decision making, and do a bit of automation so that everybody doesn't have to take the decision manual planning. These are the three things which I see cutting across the clients. So that's what I foresee.
Okay, and looking forward to the future, I mean, we're hoping that we'll get through this pandemic and we'll get into a post-pandemic world. How do you see supply chains operating in a post-pandemic world? Obviously, we're not going to go back to the way we were beforehand, because now a lot of organizations will have, you know, digitized their supply chains more. But how do you see supply chains of the future looking? Let's start with you, Nickel.
See, one thing is we will never go back to the pre-pandemic kind of a planning is what I foresee. Just take a simple example. I think pre-pandemic, how much of my wallet share I was going in a shop and buying, And after the pandemic, what is my current wallet share? Almost everything I buy online, including the daily grocery. Now, what that means is think it from the other end as a supply chain professional. If the goods have to be delivered to my home as against the grocery store or supermarket nearby, it means there is so much impact on the supply chain. The number of points and number of replenishment point and number of data points we have to cover in terms of doing the supply chain planning has completely gone change. And everything is not going to come back to the pre-pandemic era because these have changed the habits of the customer. So once the habits change and people realize that the digital thing and ordering online and the comforts that they're getting now, so nobody is going to go back to the pre-pandemic era. So I see that the life will never go back to the same level as what it was in a pre-pandemic era for a supply chain planner. So post-pandemic, all those things which we have done in last 18 months to 2 years will more likely continue as the way forward. So that's how I see it, the things going forward.
Okay. And Matthias, I mean, you're going to be operating a supply chain going forward, hopefully post-pandemic. We've mentioned some of the challenges already: autonomous vehicles, electrification of transport. Nicola's just pointed out there that we're going to be buying a lot more stuff online, or continue to buy stuff online, which will increase demand for the kind of commercial vehicles that you are producing or producing components for. So how do you see, I mean, you probably already have plans for what you're going to be doing in the next 5 years for supply chains. What are they looking like? What are your priorities there?
Yeah, starting at the footprint and the supply chains itself, I think to be more resilient on that, the dual sourcing strategy and be more flexible on that will increase on that. So I don't see that we go back to regional for regional. That's also not the solution on that. But we will have more dual sourcing, global footprints on that, which brings at the end more complexity in the supply chains as well. So that's something we have to manage it. Regarding the digitalization, I would say the good thing out of the pandemic is the people, my staff, are pushed now to work digital on that. Simply topics like we do today with a Teams meeting to talk to each other, that's topics which we never did before. So that's something which will also have an impact to our daily business in working on the processes on that. So people learned a lot doing that. Regarding processes and methods, I hope that we use the time and have the time to transfer the lessons learned and the ad hoc topics we did during the last 2 days in formal stable processes on that, digital processes on that. And that's something we plan as well for the upcoming years. So we have this initiative, Digital S&OP with Nikhil and Infosys, to go a journey for the upcoming years, to work on that. And that's something which is great. And last but not least, you mentioned the autonomous driving. That helps us at the end, hopefully, to automate and be more efficient in our processes, which are physical, to be on the cost side as well effective on that. So let's start with four dimensions at least, I see, which will drive our daily work and our future optimization.
Great. Super. Gentlemen, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question that I have not asked that you wish I had, or any topic we've not discussed that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
Nothing in my head, so all good.
Okay, Nikhil?
Nothing in my head as well. So we covered
it's Friday it. Afternoon. Superb.
Great question, so nothing open.
Gentlemen, that's great. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast. If people want to know more about yourself, Nikhil, or you, Matthias, or Infosys, or ZF, where would you have me direct them?
Yes, I think in Infosys, we have this subsection on our website, infosys.com/SAP, where a lot of point of views, et cetera, are put up there. So I'll definitely send you a link. You can include it. So that's where they can go.
Okay. And for yourself personally, are you happy for people to reach out to you on LinkedIn or similar?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn, but I think infosys.com/SAP will also direct them to me. Yeah.
Superb. And Matthias?
Yeah, the same for us. So ZF.com, you get more about ZF on the social medias as well. And I'm happy as well to hear feedbacks from the community and as well interested in interactions with the community.
Brilliant. Super. Gentlemen, that's been great. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.